30年前，我们背上行囊，满怀初心去寻找心中仰望的那座高山。万事开头难，迈出新的一步需要莫大的勇气，但是我们必须前行，原地踏步赶不上时代的步伐。对于登山者而言，每一步都是新的一步，每一步都有新的风景。没有路无所谓，我们走过便有了路。路途坎坷无所谓，用自己的足迹去踏平坑洼。山高路远无所谓，用自己的脚步去丈量生命的长度。当一步步的积累成就登顶的喜悦，我们会发现原来前方还有更高的山等着我们去征服，还有更绚烂的天空等着我们去仰望，还有更长远的路等着我们去涉足。山外有山，登顶过越多的山，就会有更多的山想去挑战。见识越多壮丽的风景，就更想再上层楼，登高而望。不只为了挑战一座座山峰，更是为了挑战自己。在不断攀爬中，去体会自我的渺小和梦想的伟大。原来，对于我们而言，最高的山只存在于心里，永远有下一座山。心有多高，人行多远。人生就这样，没有停歇的理由，只有为了心中的高山而不断攀爬的动力。不忘初心，竟无止境。
Thank you. Well, first let me start by welcoming all of you to Shanghai, and for those of you who are able to travel tomorrow to see our stores in Hangzhou as well. I really appreciate on behalf of all my team that we have got such excellent participation. I was talking to John Glass earlier, and the room is really full, and it's great to see this level of interest, and I hope that we can add to your knowledge and to tell you more about our business. I'll try to stay brief in my opening comments, and then as you heard from Elaine, we will have Joey and others, and Johnson and Jackie present to you more details. And the reason is that we do want to allow time for Q&A at the very end, because I'm sure you've got a lot of questions, and then we'd be very happy with my team to answer them. A quick word about Christy Ju, who's our head of investor relations. She apologizes, could not be here today because she's on a short medical leave of absence. She's just fine, but I just thought I'd mention that. But Elaine and Joyce and other members, Michelle, of the investor relations team will be available to take good care of you. We've already been through Elaine's opening cautionary note, as we always do with the safe harbor statement. But just to reiterate a couple of points, the first, obviously, we will be making forward-looking statements, and not just today in the presentation, but also in the course of your visits to our restaurants in Hangzhou, and in other interactions that you have. And obviously, we expect these to be covered by safe harbor provisions. The second is that we are giving a lot of estimates about the future, but you've all been around the block. You know our company very well, and you know how these things work. Those are estimates. The estimates could vary materially from the reality because they depend on market forces, competitive actions, et cetera, which are completely outside of our control. Lastly, we do use third-party sources for a lot of industry information, and there will be at the cruise tonight, you'll have a chance to hear from Bain and Company about, you know, delivery and digital and other aspects, and we'll also give some estimates of, you know, size of companies, et cetera. That's all third-party information, so please verify that on your own. And lastly, we will be, Jackie, myself, a number of us will be making several statements which have non-GAAP information. Obviously, we stay very true to GAAP in all our reporting, but there will be some non-GAAP measures used. So with those few words, let me start by an introductory slide. And we are very pleased as management to report a lot of progress, I think, in the company. And the delightful thing about Yum China is that it's at the same time a very established company with 30 years of operations in China, as you saw in the opening video. But at the same time, it's also a very young company, having just embarked on this journey of becoming a public listed company. So if I was to take you on some of the key bullet points on this slide, starting from the top left, the first is something you're aware of, that our company is a dominant leader in the markets for both quick service restaurants as well as in casual dining restaurants. It's unusual to have that in a single company in a single country, but we're very pleased with that position. On the left, then, going further down, you can see the reasons why. We have more than 7,700 stores in over 1,100 cities in every province and every region of Greater China. To the left, again, on the bottom, we are the number one restaurant operator in two critical aspects, and you'll hear this a lot. Have already heard this over several meetings in the past, but you will hear a lot more of it, is digital and delivery, digital and delivery. Our delivery sales have been steadily increasing. The last quarter, Q3, we announced that our delivery sales were about 14% of our total sales. I think that was up from the previous quarter, it was 12, the previous quarter was 11, so that's been growing rapidly. And you'll hear a lot more about digital, where we are pleased with the progress that we've made. And if you look on the right-hand side, we did debut on the Fortune 500 listing, the most recent Fortune 500 listing, where we came in at number 399. That, of course, is ranked by way of sales. But the company achieved sizable market value as well, with a market cap exceeding $16 billion. Of course, that varies on a daily basis, but that was as of last count. Statistic on the middle on the right, again related to our digital success, and you've heard this before, is that we are now clocking at a rate of a total of about 120 million members of our loyalty programs for KFC and Pizza Hut. And then lastly on the bottom right is that the company is a very large employer. We employ directly about 420,000 people in our business in China. In fact, on the same Fortune 500 listing, we were ranked number 3 of US 500 corporations in terms of number of employees. We also have a strong management team, and I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce a few members of the leadership team that are present here. Due to reasons of time, I won't have the time to introduce every one of them, but I will introduce some key members so that you can interact with them during the break and ask any questions. So I'll start with my left. I'll start with Angela Ai. So Angela, if you don't mind getting up. Angela is a 20-plus year veteran of the company and has been responsible for a lot of the development success that we've had. So she leads a very large department that builds all our new stores. I'll go to Shella. Shella is our general counsel, also our board secretary. Shella, again, is a 20-plus year veteran of the company and has been with the company at every crucial turn, not just in our past history of spinning off from Yum Brands, but also, you know, things like the acquisition of Little Sheep, and of course our recent spin-off and the formation of our new board of directors. Ted Lee is the general manager for Little Sheep, which is our own brand and doing very well. Mark Chu is a person who you might have seen in the video more than once that we played a little while ago, because Mark is one of the founders of the company and was here right from the beginning, so well over 20 years. Mark has been previously president, chief operating officer. He's just a fantastic operator and is responsible for a lot of the success that we've had historically. And I'm delighted that he plays the role of senior advisor to me and to the leadership team. Jeff Kwai, I think you met, several of you met, is the general manager for Pizza Hut Home Service. And you will you'll hear more about his business from Joey when she presents. Sunny Sun is our chief growth officer, an M&A specialist with considerable experience in CVC and Daimler and Danone before that. She led the acquisition in partnership with Jeff of Daojia earlier and is helping us at the moment on crucial aspects of our future capital deployment, et cetera. Very quickly, Alice Wong is our head of public affairs and does a great job with establishing a brand image across the country. Christabel Low is our chief people officer, again, a 20-plus year veteran. And I jokingly say that she recruited every one of the 420,000 people. But it's no exaggeration to say that she's responsible for a lot of the cultural success. Danny is the head of several functions, including he's chief supply chain officer, as well as head of quality assurance and food safety and food innovation. And Danny, again, is a 20-plus year veteran of the company. Johnson Huang, you'll hear a lot more from later. Johnson is a 10-year veteran of the company and is the general manager for our largest brand, KFC. And his background is in IT, and that makes it particularly exciting. Joey Watt, I'll have a chance to say a few more words later as I introduce her, is going to be the next speaker following me, and I'll introduce her properly at that time. Jackie Low, our chief financial officer, and Jackie has been with the company since prior to the spin, and was responsible for filing our Form 10, getting the approvals. He has 17 years with Ernst & Young prior, where he was a partner for about five, and is an expert particularly in SEC reporting and US GAAP. So we are delighted to have him as a CFO. So you can see that the management team has a very good combination of extremely tenured people who've been right there from the beginning, as well as fresh new talent that has got expertise from outside of our company so we can meet all our obligations to shareholders. This slide we've been using internally and tracking because even though we are only principally a one-country operation, really, we are focused on Greater China, with the exception of Little Sheep, where we have about 100 restaurants outside of China. Our business focus really is in China. We have, as I said, about 7,700-plus restaurants. Our market value positions us in the top five of all publicly listed restaurant companies. In fact, all restaurant companies, because most of large restaurant companies are public. I think this is a very good reflection of the power of China. It also is encouraging for us because it represents a considerable amount of focus. What I love about this company is that it's very focused on the opportunity in China. And China becoming the world's largest economy is almost a mathematical certainty. It's a question of only when that happens, not if. And we are very pleased with that. Also, our business model, which is where we own and operate the restaurants mainly ourselves, is a proven success. And that's reflected again in the per store valuations that you can see on this chart. One of the heartening factors, and many of you have tracked our company for several years even prior to the spin, was that in becoming a public company, we were able to achieve considerable success in a few areas. Number one was the smooth appointment of a very powerful and competent board of directors. And this was done, obviously, on November 1 when we spun off as an independent company. But they provide governance, and on behalf of all of you shareholders, represent to management good governance practices, aside from being functionally very competent in their individual areas. So in quick succession, since November 1 when we spun off, we've been able to achieve a few things. Continued strong financial performance. Authorization to purchase our own shares. We got initial authorization at the start of the year for about $300 million to purchase back. And as you saw at the end of Q3 results, most recently at our board meeting, we got authorization to spend another $250 million. That takes our total authorization to $550 million. As by way of capital return by purchasing our own shares. C, even though it was small and not material to our company in terms of its financial size, we did an acquisition, which was an aggregator company with two brands, Daojia and Sherpas, and we are in the process of integrating that. And we did that principally to get more experience in this rapidly growing area, and we feel optimistic about prospects. And lastly, very recently, as you know, we initiated our dividend. This was a question from many of you for several quarters. And I'm pleased that even though we are 2 weeks away from our first anniversary as a public company, that on three critical aspects, which is share purchase, acquisition, and buyback, our board of directors has been very forward-looking, and we are delighted with the progress that we've had so far. This is a summary of our highlights for the first three quarters of 2017. That is our performance in Q1, Q2, Q3, which is all public information. on the first one, system sales, this is our total sales. As you know, we have certain joint ventures in about 5 cities. So some of them we have a minority interest in. But our total system sales are about $6 billion in the first 3 quarters, which represented, if you were to take away the effect of exchange, about a 7% growth rate in sales. Our restaurant margins have been healthy. They're up from last year. But of course, as everybody knows, in 2016, June, the government of China introduced a simplified taxation system called, loosely called VAT. And that gave us considerable benefit, both last year as well as this year for the full year. So that had an impact, but our restaurant margins have been good. And Q3, where we were lapping VAT from last year, we were able to still show a modest growth in margins and maintain them at the 20% level in Q3. Our net income has grown well, and you're very well aware of those numbers. Adjusted EBITDA for the first 3 quarters alone crossed $1 billion. Our diluted EPS is a topic of considerable technical concern and analysis. You're aware in Q3 we did announce that there was a significant dilution in our share base on account of warrants of our minority shareholder coming in the money, the effect of share issues that we made after spin-off, et cetera. So you can analyze this in more detail, but our total earnings have grown, as you can see on the top right, very substantially. On the bottom right, and I think Jackie will make more references to this, is probably the strongest indicator of the health of the business, is that our net cash position is very strong. And when we spun off, we had about $1 billion. At the moment, we have about $1.6 billion as of the end of Q3. In terms of cash and cash equivalents, short-term investments and cash that we retain. So overall, in terms of financial performance so far, the going has been good. I'll cover a few other factors that will set up the stage for how we are looking at the future. The first is that we have a very wide footprint. In China, as you saw in the market cap slide that I had put up, the two biggest companies worldwide are also present here. But we have more stores in China than those two put together. And in fact, even the number 3 local competitor put together. So this is an unprecedented position to be able to be present in every single province. The large gap on the top, on the left-hand side, we have a lot of stores there as well, for example, in the autonomous region of Tibet. But these are reflecting where we have offices as well as a presence. It's well distributed in terms of our brand presence and also the you'll hear references to this later, but we have an extensive delivery service where we deliver in about 800 cities, which is far more than any other competitor. Many of you will visit our logistics center in Shanghai later today, but we have 17 of those, and I'll make some references to that in a minute. So let me come to the first forward-looking slide, and this is the one where we've explained this before, but I think we can now, with the heat of the spin-off and the last 1 year's experience behind us, talk about it with some more insight. We believe that the number of stores in China can increase quite dramatically based on a number of factors. The most simplistic is per capita number of stores, which is represented on this slide that we only have, although we have 7,700 stores. If you divide that by 1,400 million people, then, or the other way around, you see that we only have 5 stores for 1 million people. So one store for about 200,000 people. That number, even in several developing markets, is higher, significantly higher. But the more important perspective that I'd like you to take away is that there is no reason why Yum! Brands' restaurants in China should have fewer restaurants than we have in the United States. And in the US, Yum! Has well over 15,000 restaurants. And the reason is that China will be a bigger economy. But aside from the economy, just the population is so much bigger. And our market share situation is strong. Now, of course, this trebling is a long-term phenomenon. And the reason I'm putting it up is that we see virtually unlimited runway for growth in this market. Now, the physical sort of infrastructure of stores is one thing. As you hear from Joey and Johnson later, what's also growing rapidly is delivery. So that might cast a new perspective on this entire business, as we are seeing with retail all over the world. But we see that we can still continue to build out our new restaurants at a very healthy pace. And the reason is that on the right-hand side, we've listed the 3 major factors. The first is development capability. It's not easy to build 500-plus restaurants in a year for any newcomer. And for those of you who are visiting China on this trip, if you travel around the biggest cities, Shanghai, Beijing, Hangzhou, et cetera, retail is not easily available. So this we have, we believe, quite a competitive barrier to entry. And we have a very large department that does the entire range of activity from site locations to mapping to intelligent forecasting of traffic to, of course, commercial negotiations, the engineering fit-out, the build-out, the commissioning. These are not easy. And, of course, the labor required in order to open new stores. So there's a lot of internal know-how that goes to that success. And lastly, we have a very disciplined process. And please remember that we always build one store at a time. And we are not that driven by numbers as to what number we can build out, but we are very driven by returns that we get on those stores. So we allocate capital to new store builds based upon our ability to get good returns. And what's the most encouraging thing has been that even in the last two or three years, when we had a lot of other activities going on, our build rate has been very healthy. I think it's a tribute to the intrinsically to the Chinese economy. A few headwinds that you're aware of, but I just thought I'd make a couple of comments. One is we do live in a politically charged environment around the world. In Q3 of last year, for example, there was an agitation against the South China Sea controversy, and that caused our sales to get impacted last year in 2016 Q3. These factors can happen at any time. We feel great about our business. We feel very optimistic about the future, but that always remains. Inflation has been, I must say, reasonably moderate over the last couple of, at least the last 1.5 years. Labor inflation was sizably higher. It moderated a bit, although it's still reasonable. And food inflation around the world has been reasonable, but that could spike at any time. Although at the moment, I think Jackie will give you some insights, we feel reasonable about those two factors. The currency is always subject to change, and for a 5-year period, the RMB was weakening. At the moment, it appears stable. We can't really forecast the way it'll go. And what makes our company particularly interesting is that we do have our entire business in conducted in RMB, both our sales side as well as our cost side. But of course, our shareholders invest capital in US dollars, so that rate does play have an impact. And lastly, the tax. You're very well aware that tax is an ongoing factor, that tax rates in the United States are under review. And we'll see where that goes. But the more capital we spend in China, the more capital we deploy in China, and the more we grow here, the lower our tax rate. The more capital we move to the US for buybacks or dividends or other activity, we pay a higher tax rate. So these are all nuances, and we should keep that in mind as we model our business going forward. Now, a few good elements that I feel particularly positive about, having been in this business before, looked at it around the world, is that I think the KFC team has done a superb job over the last 18 months in particular in refurbishing stores and trying new activities. In this business, it is critically important to have a very healthy real estate portfolio, because it's very easy to lose sight of it, and then if you don't invest for several years, you see an impact on sales quite dramatically. But I think we're very pleased with the progress that's been made in every aspect of store build-out, in technology as well as on the look and feel, and not just on KFC, but on Pizza Hut as well. And more and more activities are being done on a regular basis to see that we can experiment and take this going forwards as well. You'll hear from Joey that Pizza Hut is work in progress, and you'll hear some cautionary comments about when we expect that to turn around, but we feel good about the quality of the estate. I've referred to this already, but just a very quick summary, the national supply chain aspect, which allows us to open in very remote areas get with good food safety guarantees and to open up new concepts like Taco Bell. It's not easy to do unless you have very good control of supply chain. I referred to development capability already. Our marketing scale and coverage, you hear more about this, but we are the largest spenders in our industry on marketing. And also in the rapidly emerging new digital area. We believe our operations to be the best in class by Yum standards globally as well as in China, by competitive standards. And lastly, a very robust IT infrastructure that allows us to put all those digital activities into place. In closing, just a couple of slides, and then I'll hand over to Joey. The first is that aside from all of this, we feel very pleased to be responsible corporate citizens in China. This country has given us a lot in terms of operating freedom, consumer response, the ability to operate such a large-scale business, and we do our best to give back. So we do give back money by collecting funds and then matching them this year for donating to people that are in need. And we also have programs, and maybe Joey, you could refer to this briefly, by which we are able to help out, in this case, by, would you believe, selling potatoes in an area which finds it difficult to market them using our digital power. And that's not the only two. There are many others. So, for example, we have a program in the top middle called the Angel Restaurants, where restaurants are run entirely by hearing disabled and other disabled people. That allows us to productively employ them and add to their skills as well. And there's several other programs like this. Recently, we covered a host of strategic thoughts in our board meeting. And I'll summarize those four very quickly on this slide. The first is that we are very focused on China as a business. We see that as a strength because it allows us to single-mindedly focus on what we believe is the largest emerging opportunity in the world. And we intend to invest locally in China for growth as far as possible. The second is that we want to strengthen our core business. So the two major brands, KFC and Pizza Hut, are subject to considerable attention, and we are not swayed by new brands and new acquisitions, et cetera, as much as by improving our stores, innovating menu, improving quality and value consistently. And we believe that's our best passport to get consistent good returns. Third, I mentioned already digital and delivery. There'll be several references to this. And last is innovation, and I hope you'll see, especially those who are traveling to Hangzhou tomorrow, where in one mall across from each other, you can see a PH Plus, and you can see a K Pro, which showcase our abilities to take this business forward with innovation at the retail level. So with that, just a quick mention of our theme, which is stay true and aim high. And the reason we chose this theme was that we believe passionately that our existing business is capable of considerable growth, and we intend to invest behind that core business to grow. At the same time, we believe that in our existing business and very closely allied areas like digital and delivery, that we can aim very high and take this business to the next level. So with that, I'd like to hand over the stage to Joey. As was announced recently, Joey, I'm delighted to say, will be the next Chief Executive Officer of Yum China, taking over from me. It's been an absolute delight to watch Joey in action. As you know, she was the General Manager for KFC, then took on both KFC and Pizza Hut. Most recently was elected to our board of directors. Just an exceptional leader, so it gives me great pleasure now to introduce Joey Wat. Thank you, Joey.